ain't ever gonna stop listening to me on Belly Podcast.
Here we go.
Again. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Knee on Belly Podcast. We are your hosts, Nate
and John.
And John, today we are going to recap UFC 301 and still Alexandre Pantoja defeating Steve Hrsek, or did he? Because I think maybe he didn't. Then we will get you guys set up. Well, and we'll also discuss, obviously, the big return and win
and
for
still,
the King of Rio. Still the King of Rio, Jose Aldo. We're going to talk all everything pretty much UFC 301. Then we'll get you guys set up with our picks and predictions for this Saturday's UFC Fight Night St. Louis with Derek Lewis versus Rogério Nascimento in our main event, and Joaquin Buckley versus Nurzultan Ruziboyev in the co-main event. I'm really hyped for that fight, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally, all the news and happenings in and around the world of mixed martial arts and more. But first, John, how are we doing? Episode 181 of the Neon Belly Podcast, or as some people are calling it, the length and minutes of Avengers Endgames episode of the Neon Belly Podcast. And that is also a world record for the longest running time for a theatrical cut of a superhero movie, by the way. But that is neither here nor there. Either way, we're just glad you're listening.
Oh, yeah, man. Great day for Indiana weather. Back to talking about that, because you kind of have to, because it's the best it's been probably in a while with today. Also, you know, last night didn't run too late, so this today goes a little bit easier. So can't really complain too much. Yeah, man, it's nice to get back into, you know, I'm a big fan of Brazil fighters. So getting back into Brazil was fun for me. Watching the fights last night, and yeah, so that was my best.
Hardest thing to do there is I just had to get up and run and get my phone, so that was literally just John filling dead air. So hardest thing to do when there's only two of us.
Off the cuff filibuster.
I had to just go because I had to make sure I had my phone, and yeah, so way to go there, John, because yeah. That ain't easy.
I feel like that's the closest I've been to, like, when you see in movies where you have to distract a guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you know, Brazil.
Yeah.
The fighters. It's the weather, man.
Absolutely. So we have to talk about something off top. And we don't get too serious on this podcast, like, ever.
Yeah.
Hardly Oof. Ever do we get serious on here. But today, unfortunately, kind of has to be one of those days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if you're listening to this, you've seen the title by now, and you will see that this is our goodbye episode for now.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that is unfortunately not clickbait. We have been just on an incredible 2-year sprint with this weekly podcast. And I mean weekly, right?
Yeah.
I think we went over a year without missing even a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of realized the need for some time off here and there, right? And I'm just really proud of nothing else of our consistency, the growth that we've had in that 2 years. Super grateful for everyone who has continued to listen, continued to support, made it worth it to continue to come in every week. To give everybody something to listen to if you've enjoyed this podcast, or if you do enjoy this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But I think especially starting this year, it's kind of just started to feel a bit more like something that we have to do rather than something that we always want to do, right? Like some weeks we do come in and you're like really ready to go. But I will say a large part of that for me personally is I also have a lot of personal things going on right now in my life. And for me, and not just for myself, but also for my wife, I need to take some time and kind of get through it, process it. And this obviously by no means was an easy decision. I've actually been trying to, if I can honestly admit, like if you've listened to this podcast, like you probably wonder like, man, they're not really doing games. They're not really doing this and that and much anymore. And, you know, I always joke about with you and Brandon of like all the hats that I have to wear on this pod, or, you know, we joke about it, but it is a real thing. And,
right.
And I do typically am the one that comes up with that stuff, and I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I just need that kind of time away, like I said, for a little bit, to just kind of get through it, like I said, and it wasn't easy, but what I was getting to, excuse me, is if you've been listening, you've probably noticed a lot of that stuff hasn't been happening, and that's been me literally I told you yesterday, I was like, it's funny because typically I just do it. I just do it. And I think what my kind of, what was like my, the straw that broke her, like that kind of like revelation moment, right? Mm-hmm. Was when you had brought up, hey bro, you know, the NFL draft is this week and like we typically do our drafts, right? And I'm just like, no, I didn't. You know what yeah. I mean? And it's like, but it's because I've literally just been trying to hang on by a thread just to get an episode out every week. Mm-hmm. And I just don't have right now the extra time to do the extra work. Cause I told you like that, I would have just done it. Like even when you reminded me on Tuesday. And then it was like, I was like, dude, I just don't have time to sit down and do it. Right. So like I said, it just wasn't an easy decision. I've been fighting it and I've been fighting it and I've been fighting it. And then I think when you said that, that was kind of like my, you know what? Yeah, this is the right decision. Cause I've already kind of been feeling it.
Right.
So, but this is just what it has to be for right now. And I do say for now, because I do want to, so that's kind of the bad news. This is my hope. My hope is in the near future, the weekly pods will be something that we can start back up. Again, I just need to get to a place personally. And I know you guys all, you're getting married.
Yeah, I mean, it's a season maybe all of us could really
everybody's
use,
got
honest.
Something going on kind of. I mean, Brandon hasn't been here in 2 weeks, right? So we've all got stuff kind of going on. So I know for me personally, I could just use the time to just refresh a little bit, I think, and take a step back. And I do want this podcast to be something that does re-up. So please leave us in your feeds. Don't unsubscribe, because you do never know when we'll pop back.
See you later. Maybe that's the term.
That's 100% what it is. And we've kind of kicked around possibly still doing episodes here and there, maybe even in between from time to time for the UFC pay-per-view, the week fight week, and then posts, you know, picks and then reactions. So just hang in there for a minute, right? Like, let us navigate this whole thing. And the good news is this is just for the weekly pod. The Neon Belly experience will continue over on YouTube, on our socials. The goal is to still put up our picks and prediction videos, as well as other original content. I mean, and interviews. We have been wanting to get back to fighter interviews for so long. And it got to the point where, you know, we were doing local fighters, and then it's like, man, you know, this is kind of a lot again, right? Because we have one day a week to record, guys. Like, and when I say one day, I really mean we have like a 2 hour window on a Sunday.
And sometimes we have to find that 2 hour window.
Yes,
it's not the same.
It's
one,
not. It's, you know? Exactly. So getting interviews is something like, and when that's just something we can now open back up and maybe even open it up for more like local or regional style fighters, not just the big names all the time, right? Hopefully, like I said, when it opens everything back up, I think it's going to free us up in general. But just make sure now more than ever also that you're just kind of tapped into our socials, especially our YouTube, at Neon Belly Podcast for everything. Because we definitely still want the support over there as well. Right. So,
yeah. And you know, the other thing is it gives us a chance to kind of polish the product and find a way to give people more, without going through some of the fluff, you know, some of the stuff you can tell maybe we're not as into certain fights or because they're just not as big, but we're still watching. But now we can, you know, if it's something that pops up, we can bring it up and talk about it instead of having to go through a whole card and just use 3 seconds on it because we have to move through an episode.
Well, and I'm just like, one thing I told you, like two other things I'll get to, and then we'll move on from this and just kind of put a little perspective on outside of the personal things that I said I've got to kind of deal with in my life. And, and let me like say, like it's nothing like, no, nobody's dying.
Yeah.
Nothing's like catastrophic. Me and my wife are great. It's nothing in our marriage.
You're
like,
not going on keto.
No, I'm not going on keto. I'm still, you know, we're good here. Like, you know what I mean? I'm still going to eat meat.
Just life is life, man.
Life is life. And we've just got kind of some bigger decisions in life to make, I guess, right now. And I've got to, I need to process it, guys, because it's been a lot. But just to kind of give a little bit more context on the decision is, I just kind of like what we do. And I even told you last night, like, dude, I am so ready for you and Brandon and to come over or on fight nights, like just like, and just be able to sit and enjoy the fights. You guys don't obviously see when we're watching the fights, but I am like the whole time on my laptop, like tick, 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 tick.
Right.
And let me, and this is why, because we have such a short window on Sunday. So just to kind of process, the fights start at 10. Well, I mean, really, prelims start at like 6 or 7, and I'm like loosely watching, you know, like mostly I'm watching the whole card most of the nights, which is, I can get in a whole tangent about that, which I might hear in a sec, but so 10 p.m. hits, right, main card. We're watching the fights. The fights are usually over between 1 and 2.
Right.
Then I'm up for about another hour getting stuff done, because that's why I'm typing the whole time. Right. So I'm getting my notes and everything and how I want the episode to flow and things and important, all this thing. This isn't easy, trust me. It's a lot of work. It may seem like we just hit record, but it's not as simple as that. And if you think it is, by all means, try that and see how it goes.
Try it 181 times.
In about 2 seconds, you're going to be like, good fight. You know. So it is necessary. Mm-hmm. So then, I'm not getting to bed till like probably closer to 3 in the morning. Then I get up at about 8 a.m. to go to church. I'm at church, literally get home from church, and then I'm here. So there's just no time to even process or anything, especially when it's a pay-per-view, and it's a lot. And then I'm also excited to kind of have some freedom on Saturday. I'm still going to watch this sport every Saturday.
Yeah.
We are not going to stop watching. I mean, we're still going to be making content about it. So still going to watch every fight, but now I don't have to be on the couch as soon as the fight starts to watch it live. So I have enough time. I told you, I haven't been to a live mixed martial arts or fight in probably two years.
Yeah, maybe more, man.
Well, we went to the Bellator.
Yeah, we did.
That's the only fight that I've been to in 2 years, and that is insane, because we used to go to all the local, regional stuff. Haven't even been able to do that. So just having a little bit of freedom again on Saturdays, where it's like, okay, the fights start at 7 p.m., but if I don't get home till 10 p.m., I can watch them then. Right. I can watch the on ESPN Plus, or I can record them if they're on, whatever.
And we're not beat writers getting paid to do this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, absolutely. It would be great. If that's the case, this isn't a conversation, but we're, working and then doing this on top of it. And
then the fact we're working 40 hours plus a week, and then all your other favorite podcasts, this is like the big boys. This is what they do, and this is their only job, right? And we're trying to keep up with that style of a product on top of work.
We don't have like a team. It's just us.
It's literally just us.
Sometimes it's three of us. Sometimes it's two. sometimes it's one. Yes. And somebody just kind of helps out. Like, it's
just a lot right now. And I think, like I said, it's been 2 years of it. And I think just life circumstances now, it's just, and you even said it for all three of us, it's just kind of a good time, I think, to take a step back. So again, say all that to say, sorry if that was a little long-winded, but I do feel people that are listening to this do deserve, maybe there's people that enjoy this weekly and do deserve a bit of an explanation. Like, this isn't just like us being like, yeah, we're done, we're out.
Bye.
This was even like 2 weeks of like, I don't know if this is the right move. Yeah. I don't want to do this. Like, I will say that, but for right now, it is absolutely necessary. So if you would give us, appreciate if you guys just, if you're listening, give us the space, give us the time, give us some grace. And I promise the hope is to hopefully bring this all back, maybe even better than ever. You never know. I will say too, on the YouTube side, give us like a week or two. You might not see anything, only because I have to update some of our graphics in terms of, like, obviously it shows like our podcast stuff. And then, we're also going to move to a new platform in terms of like how we're going to record our stuff. We're going to try to stream it instead of being in person. That way everybody can be at their home. So this is going to take a little time to get familiar with our new stuff. But so just give us a little time on that. If you don't see us for like a week or two, don't be like, oh, they lied, they abandoned us, so that's just kind of where it is. And like I said, just wanted, I hate bringing it down a little bit right there at the beginning, but didn't want to save it for the end in case some people don't always listen
right
to
and
the
then
end.
What?
Where are they at? So like I said, that's just what it is.
But as you're listening, if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, do keep us in, like you said, because we will be back around.
Yes, do not unsubscribe. I'm telling you, like, I could totally see, like, Connors and 303 in a couple months. Like, that may be something where we're like, hey, let's just jump on and do
those
a quick
things are
pod.
Easier to get up for, man. Let's just be honest about that.
Yeah, because by that point, we'll have, like, 2 or 3 weeks of just, again, getting a breath of fresh air and stuff. So don't take us off your feet.
Right.
Just give us time. That's all we're asking for.
But also give us 5 stars if you're listening and you enjoy it and you want to hear us talk about these things on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And since we won't be doing these, the social media is more important than ever. So Neon Belly Podcast, that's Instagram, that's TikTok, that's YouTube. Neon Belly Pod for X. What I will still be doing is I've been tweeting live throughout the fights to kind of say what I feel about it. So come on there and join me on there for these pay-per-views and even even maybe some of these fight nights if I can get around to it. But there's still going to be plenty of ways to get your Neon Belly fix. Now it's just kind of shifting a little bit more towards YouTube and social media. But those things do very well there too. And there's a whole community of people there who comment on things, and it gives you something as well that you can interact with.
Absolutely. Let's get to it, John. UFC 301 from this past Saturday in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in our main event. Alexandre Pantoja defeats Steve Urseg via unanimous decision. Really good fight here. Yeah. And man, it just doesn't get much closer in terms of fights than this.
Mm-hmm.
I had a feeling that that was kind of how it was going to play out. Like, I think I even said it last week. Like, I think Urseg is going to have a good showing here, mm-hmm. and make this thing close. And I will say, I kind of hinted it there in the intro, I personally scored this fight for Steve Urseg. I gave him rounds 2, 3, and 4, but the judges didn't see it that way. Two judges gave Pantoja round 3, which I don't understand, and this is where I'm held up on this fight, because that's the round that Urseg landed that elbow that just split Pantoja wide open.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel, if nothing else, you give Urseg that round off damage alone, right? And then one judge gave every round to Pantoja but round 4. That makes absolutely no sense to me. How you can watch that round 2 and not score that for Urseg is just mind-boggling to me. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, I'm not willing to die on the hill of it was not 2-2 going into the fifth. Like, right. It was a very close fight. Mm-hmm. I just felt like those rounds 2, 3, and 4 was Urseg accumulating damage. And I feel like that's what we're kind of seeing fights scored on more. But I wouldn't die. Like I said, I wouldn't die on that hill. So then if it did come down to the fifth, again, a very close fifth round there,
mm-hmm.
but maybe Urseg making a big of a mistake there with the takedown that could have cost him. But just your thoughts on the fight and the decision overall.
Yeah, no, I don't know if this division has had a boring title fight since ever, maybe.
They don't have many boring fights in general.
Yeah, it's a division where guys can go 100% all 5 rounds, pushing it. You've seen a guy who... I know I said last night, you have to put him on the list of bring a bat if you're fighting him, because Pantoja ate elbow after elbow.
He was not okay after that elbow in round 3. Like, even on the stool, right. Like, he would kind of, like, start to slump back, and then he would, like, kind of jolt up. Like, they thought he was, like, maybe going to throw up. So, might have caught a concussion off that
elbow.
And
then to push through that, too. Yeah, like, that's, he's just a crazy guy. But I think Urseg showed, these rankings don't matter. These guys are
not in this division.
Yeah, these guys are good, man. He had a great showing for himself. I had it 2-2 going into it, because as big as the elbow cut was, I thought Pantoja ate a left hand right after it, and then got right back into his wrestling. It fazed him obviously on the stool, but in the fight he was able to push through it. And I thought the fifth round, I think it's a fight IQ thing. I think mm-hmm. Urseg went for a takedown that he didn't need, because he's landing everything he wants from distance. And the problem with Pantoja is he's such a great grappler that, you know, he's going to get a reversal. He's going to get his own stuff off, and that's what happened.
Really good in the scrambles.
Had trouble getting to the submissions with Urseg. Urseg had a really good showing for his grappling. He is a black belt, but, you know, sometimes people think there's a difference between a black belt and a Brazilian black belt. But his ability to protect his back and get up consistently definitely – you know, pushed him into the fifth round and saved him here. And for Pantoja, he had to do a lot of game plan changing. The first 2 rounds, he's running straight at him, eating these little check lefts, and I don't think he had any respect for Steve Urseg. That changed round 2 by the toward the middle of that and all the way through the end of it, and then even in 3, starting eating the elbows. He had to be a little bit more careful, but he did have to get past the length and the tall part of him too. So great fight. I did have Pantoja winning it, but I don't think Urseg is too far removed from getting another shot at this.
Yeah, I mean, what Urseg accomplished, I mean, we talked about it last week, but what he accomplished in less than a year was already impressive. And actually, I think he was ranked number 10 coming. He actually might move up the rankings off this loss. I mean, I don't know how the media are going to vote that, but I definitely wouldn't move him down. I'll put it that way. You can maybe keep him at 10, I guess, but I almost feel like he moves up off of this. So after a showing like that, he deserves a ton of respect. And I said it last week, and I still stand by it this week, is a guy Steve Ursek, that he's going to be a champ. I mean, and possibly even a future two-weight champion, because I think he's got the frame and the size and the strength to go up and even compete at bantamweight. I just think, as we're discussing, just some fight IQ things. But that's just the difference at this level, right? And that's why championship experience and five-round experience matters so much. And we said it last week. We sound like a broken record with that, but it is true, and it shows here. It is a bit hard telling for me to know what they're going to do with Pantoja next. We kind of talked about it last night. He said he wants some time off. I don't blame him. He doesn't get enough credit. I think he's been one of the more active champions.
Three times in a year.
Yeah, since he's won the title. So definitely deserves some time to go do some Samba or whatever he said.
Yeah.
And there's certainly some high-level matchups at 125 pounds that are kind of set to play out. So I think giving the division kind of some time to reset is a good idea. Plus, you still have a lot of guys injured. Like, we were trying to go through some of the guys of potential, and it's like injured, which is kind of how Ursek ended up in this fight to begin with. But when you look at the landscape of this flyweight division, I mean, does anything kind of stick out to you? I don't think it's going to matter, because if Pantoja is going to take time off, which I think he should, it's going to be so hard predicting what could be next. Because I mean, there's a couple of big fights like we talked about where maybe winner could make a claim, like the Alex Perez and who's he fighting, that Ulanbekov, like maybe that guy, but whoever wins that. But you know, Amir Albazi was kind of next, right? Injured.
Manel Kopp injured ribs. Kai Kara hasn't fought because he's had...
but he's coming off two losses. He's coming off two losses. So it'd be hard to give him a title shot.
Muhammad Makhachev is there.
He's there. He's like the only one that I could maybe see sort of making sense if they wanted to do absolutely. But I'm telling you, Pantoja is going to take time off. And I think he should. And the division's going to pretty much reset. You know,
well,
so
and you have
hard.
And you have Brandon Royval at number one, who obviously is coming off the Moreno win.
Yeah.
And he had the two leg injuries. So if Pantoja wants to take time, you could do a Mokaev and Royval for a winner getting. Because if Royval can get two wins in a row, it makes it a lot easier to give him another title shot instead of just off of, you know, one win.
That's what I think it's going to be. They're going to have to just match some people up and let it play out. And then wherever the chips fall, that's who's going to be next for Pantoja. So.
Yeah, and unlike other divisions sometimes where if the champion does take a break, the excitement kind of dies down.
Yeah.
All these fights are great, man.
Absolutely. And speaking of great fight, in our co-main event, Jose Aldo Jr. defeats Jonathan Martinez via unanimous decision. And I guess time just does not exist for Jose Aldo Jr. Just an absolute flawless comeback. Absolutely dominated Martinez over three rounds. Jonathan Martinez, to me, just seemed to have no answers and really offered very little in terms of a challenge here for Aldo. I told you, I don't know maybe if the moment just got too big for Martinez. Maybe too much respect was what his corner was kind of saying, like stop respecting him, I think, and that could have played into it. But definitely a more gun-shy Martinez than what we're used or have been accustomed. I mean, he's just been an absolute buzzsaw of these like six-run fights.
And that, the previous fight, you kicked somebody's leg off, man.
Well, he's done it twice. Yeah. Two in his last three. He's the only guy outside of Edson Barbosa to have two leg kick finishes. Yeah, it just wasn't the night for Jonathan Martinez. And Jose Aldo just made the most of it. I mean, he looked faster and sharper than ever, I thought. And I'll say, because even all that to say with Martinez, I don't know if his best still would have been good enough with how good Aldo looked here. The power is definitely still there for Aldo. And yeah, just what a moment for him to have that in Rio and fighting out his contract and holds all the chips now. But what a win for Jose Aldo.
Yeah, man. I mean, to, you know, from the entrance here in the song again, he had the crown on. He's, you know,
the
he's happy.
The crown was cool. I love the crown.
Yeah, you know, and then even in there, I mean, obviously he's been boxing and that was on full display the whole time. He was setting things up. He was kind of getting to what he wanted, which it's kind of been the change of him. But unlike what we'd seen even before he retired, he brings back the leg kicks, does them successfully to the point to where he kind of discouraged, because he checked a couple of Martinez's as well, kind of discouraged Martinez from even going back to that for him, which, you know, I'd kind of even tweeted this out. It was like, you know, it feels like Martinez fights like a young Aldo, and then Aldo now has this more refined version of himself. So I was interested to see what would happen with that. But I think that, you know, the hand speed was faster than Martinez. He landed his kicks whenever he wanted. And he was always, anytime Martinez would try to get a little bit of space on him, Aldo would push right through him with the punches and kind of push him back. And yeah, like you said, I don't know if even on his best night, Martinez really had anything for what, because Aldo is basically the more polished version of Martinez, in my opinion, as far as experience and then even on the skill side.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about last week what this return might have meant for Jose Aldo. You know, I asked you if you thought this was just kind of one more fight to retire in Brazil, or if you thought maybe he was coming back for a full run and at the title. I think he definitely seems more than capable of still competing in this division. And it seems like there's still more left to him. I will say he is officially a free agent, as I mentioned. So, like I said, he holds all the power here. He said he needed to talk to the UFC. I would think surely after a performance like that, you keep going if you're Jose Aldo. Mm-hmm. Now, he did say the UFC does still hold the right to match any offer he gets from anywhere else. So I do expect Jose Aldo to make sure that he's maximizing his worth. He's going to go shop around, right? Like, you go talk to Bare Knuckle. You go talk to PFLator, as Daniel White calls him. You maybe go talk to, like, a Danzin and just kind of get what your worth is. So wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing some Jose Aldo rumors out there. I would say wait, you know, because the UFC can match. He's gonna have to find out. He did say he likes the idea of jumping the line and going for a title shot. I mean, hey, like I said, he has the power, he can ask for it, right? But do you think we will see Jose Aldo in a UFC ring again?
Oh, I definitely do think. I know that he had verbally agreed to be on the undercard for the Tyson Jake Paul fight, boxing.
Yeah.
But this is before the UFC came calling for him to be on this card. Even in his post fight, he said that he feels physically still able to do it.
Great.
I imagine that's probably the first time he's had to cut weight in a while, because boxing, I don't think he was, I think he was kind of staying more around his kind of walk around weight. But I mean, the skills are, I mean, he looked more invigorated than he did in the Merab fight. He wanted, he was pushing, he was offensive. So I think this is, you know, I think he wanted to go out there and see if he tried as hard as what would happen. And it looked really, really good. So I think that if you're the UFC too, you kind of seen the effect also for the Brazil market. You know, we haven't really talked on that yet, but it was really full for Aldo, and it looked like it kind of emptied out a little bit for Pantoja.
Yeah, I don't know how full it really was.
It just felt, at least it felt full. Let me say that, because like his entrance and all that.
So this is what, I don't know that it was full to begin with, but I would 100% agree that by time Pantoja was walking to the ring, that was like prelim level. You know, I think there was more people for UFC 300 first fight than in that arena for Alexandre Pantoja, who is a Brazilian champion, to the point where in his post-fight speech, he's begging the fans to not leave the Lee Arena. Like, they, whoever was left was like, all right, we're done now. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know what's going on with the Brazil market there, man. I don't know. Maybe like I told you, right, the biggest problem was outside of Jose Aldo, your two, possibly three biggest Brazilian star, definitely your two biggest, were sitting on the side, front row, and Alex Pereira and Charles Oliveira. You also had Gilbert Burns sitting right there. That's why I said maybe your third, kind of, or at least another top five star. So maybe it was just the stars weren't out enough for him. But, I mean, I would think Jose Aldo alone could, I mean, that wasn't a big arena, should be able to fill that thing out. Then you throw another champion. Yeah, I would be very, very interested to see what their appetite is for returning to Brazil anytime soon. I know they said they're not going back to South America this year, possibly 2025, but that they're going to look at like Argentina and some other places. So yeah, that was a bit shocking, because you know, some of the Brazil's given us some of the best crowds.
Yeah.
You know, so,
well, and you know, and we'll talk about more of it as we finish, get down to the card, but Brazil had a great showing for themselves with their young talent as well. But I think Aldo did, I mean, we've seen it a couple of times with certain guys where they bet on themselves and say, you know, hey, I mean, because Aldo really didn't have anything to lose here. He was retired, he was boxing outside of this, he had one more fight, which he's probably getting paid pretty well for. So it's one of those things where it's like, oh well, let's see what happens. And I think that we've seen, we don't see this a lot with guys of his age, but I think he's found another, you know, gear, another, at least another flame for now.
Yeah, the question will be, who do you give him, right? If you're for Jose Aldo, I don't see them letting him jump the line and fighting Sean O'Malley. Although I will say, if Sean O'Malley gets through, who's he
fighting?
Merab, thank you. If I was Sean O'Malley, I wouldn't mind fighting Jose Aldo. That'd be a big payday, big card. So crazier things have happened. I would mm-hmm. never say never. I would just be surprised. I saw some people saying Corey Sandhagen, you know, who's going to be coming back. Maybe you set that fight up. That would be such a fun fight. Yes, please. The other one I really like is, I know Dominic Cruz was one guy who was kind of floated out there for Aldo's return fight, or we've come to know that in the past week. I think that is a great fight for both guys, especially given where they are right now. Mm-hmm. One guy's going to have one more run, possibly. Like, one of those guys comes out, and this is it, right? Like, you know this is their last. They go into that fight. This is probably their last chance to have a Hail Mary of getting back to a title.
Mm-hmm.
What, like, odd, like, the just everything that would be on the line in that fight, two legends like that, like, cha-ching, like, sign me up for that as well. So, yeah.
You know who,
I don't know if any of those stick out for you,
though. Well, you know who called him out and has kind of got me a little bit more into it is Cheeto said he would like the rematch.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And that would put Aldo basically, you know, you beat Cheeto.
I just, but you know what, though? I'll say this. No, because we're on borrowed time now with Aldo, right? Like, he's already retired, now he's back, so this is all borrowed time for us with Aldo. I want to see fresh matchups. Like, yeah. I want to see new stuff. I want to see big stuff. Going back and fighting Cheeto again, like, it just doesn't.
Yeah, it helped. I think it helped. Well, it helps both of them, but
great fight. But like, the newness of a Dominic Cruz, the newness of a Corey Sandhagen, like, and especially when you think Cruz and Aldo were like on fire at the same time, but obviously that just wasn't, like, crossovers weren't a huge thing at the time. So
yeah, I would say Cruz. You know, there's not a lot of, like, Piotr Jan doesn't have, they could do that rematch, I guess. But it, outside of that, I do think Corey Sandhagen would be a great chance to give Corey Sandhagen a name to kind of boost him up as well.
Yeah.
But also give Aldo that chance to get, you know, one, get a title, and then, you know, maybe be done.
Yeah. Sandhagen's your quickest way back if you're Aldo. You know, if he's just wanting, like, hey, I'll do one fight, and if I win that, the next one has to be for a title. Sandhagen's how you do that, obviously. So next fight, John, Anthony Lionheart Smith defeats Vitor Petrino via first round guillotine. Man, say what you want. This is a big win for Anthony Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, this is another prime example of what we mean when we say experience sometimes trumps everything. Because Petrino was seeming like he was just going to piece Anthony Smith up in this one. I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. But then Petrino decides to level change against the cage. And I will say, maybe some of those Anthony Smith leg kicks kind of encouraged the Petrino level change there.
Because it seemed a little rushed,
yes,
the takedown.
But either way, Petrino essentially puts himself into a guillotine choke, does nothing to address it, except for essentially lifts Anthony Smith, which only tightened the guillotine.
Yeah, just sinked it in.
And against a guy like Anthony Smith, a veteran like that, you just can't do that. And he hands Vitor Petrino his first professional loss. So, like I said, big win here for Anthony Smith. Regardless of how, who, what, when, where, this is a good win.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, we talked about it earlier with Ursegg, and this is the biggest example of that, where it's like, well, there's a couple other weird situations.
Well, just, even for us, it just kind of, like, sucked. Like, did that just happen? Like, we were almost, like, in shock. Like, I feel like we just kind of sat there in silence for like 15 seconds because it was like, really?
Yeah.
This wasn't supposed to happen.
Like, yeah, you know, I thought that Petrino was doing really good on the feet. He was landing some big stuff, but he was eating leg kicks and he wasn't really addressing them. And then one landed and it just seemed like he kind of rushed over to the cage and went for the takedown, puts his head right there in it. Even Anthony Smith kind of said in his post fight, he's like, I know he has an ego, so if I get to something, he's not going to try to fight. You know, he's not going to take the steps to get out of it. He's going to think he can just push through it. And man, you lift him up, basically allowing him to sink it in and get his posture better, and then you try to slam down just to get, you know, choked out.
Saw that another fight we might mention here a little bit on the prelims.
So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you only had 11 fights if you're Petrino. Obviously, Anthony Smith came in with the most fights on the card, like 50-some odd fights. And it showed there, man. You can't you need to address the leg kicks, but for somebody like Anthony Smith, especially at the light heavyweight division, he is one of the better grapplers. Mm-hmm. So getting in those situations is just a bad idea in general, but Petrino's definitely going to be kicking himself for the mistake and Anthony Smith is just going to laugh his way into the next, you know, opportunity he has to kind of get back to the title, although he says he doesn't want it, but he really does, but he doesn't want it.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see what's next for Smith, and I'm still not so sure based off that performance what the ceiling is. I mean, apparently things that, you know, fight IQ sometimes can take you a long way.
Right.
But as I've always said, I never get Anthony Smith right, so he will probably be champion next week for all I know. You know what I mean? So next fight, John. Oh, the performance of the night, possibly. Michelle Pineda defeats Ihor Poteria via first round high elbow guillotine. And not without some controversy, yeah, which we will get to. But John, who just drops someone and then essentially backflips into north-south? Like, that's your instinct. And like we said, he drops Poteria, and it's not like he like stood over him for a minute and thought about it. Like, instantly just turns his back, flips.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who Michel Pineda is. That, you know what I mean? Yeah. Now, again, with the controversy, he did appear to land a knee in that backflip before he locked in the guillotine for the finish, an illegal knee, right? Because mm-hmm. Poteria was laying flat on his back. But before we get to that knee, just your thoughts on this performance or whatever the heck that was by Michel Pineda. Because, I mean, you just like it's like you just almost have to drill something like that. Like,
oh, 100%, man.
It was just instinctual.
And not only just that, like, you know, obviously he came in as like the capoeira guy. So, yeah, like the movement thing was always something. He was entertaining, but it was like, how long can this last? And then he shored up the fundamentals and mixed in some of that craziness, like being able to just go into a backflip pass off of dropping somebody. And not like overcommitting even to, you know, chasing him down for the ground impound, like setting up what you wanted to get to. And we've seen him do backflips before. We've even seen him do, I feel like, attempt this pass before. But like the one of it is like the balls, like the gall to do this is kind of crazy because, you know, you hurt this guy. This could put you in a worse spot if you don't, you know, land it right. But also that's just how his mind works. And that's what makes him so entertaining.
Absolutely. And as far as the knee, here's where I'm at. I'm okay with them not calling it a foul. You are responsible for your weapons. And I do think Pineda's, he's going to have to find a way to kind of balance this dynamic aspect of his game out a little bit, because it's one thing to do it here against Ihor Poteria, but like, what if that's a title fight and you lose it because you do something like that, you know? But then again, I guess if he gets to a title, it's going to be doing stuff like that. So I guess you shouldn't all the way change, but maybe, I mean, you can't even say like clean up the technique, because that's just something he does. Like, it's not really a technique. So I will say he is responsible for his weapons, but even on the replay, it looked like it landed more in the chest. Maybe neck, you could almost shoulder-ish. Argue the neck area, which, you know, maybe you could argue the next part of the head. I don't know, but it's not the chin, below the chin. I'll say it looked like it.
Or
it
the landed. Actual like temple forehead type of.
And I told you, I like that they handled it that way, because I think in much like most sports with instant replay, if the call on the field, or in this case, the cage, is not clear and obvious, then the decision in the field, or in this case again the cage, is held up. And I feel like that's kind of what they did. Like, wasn't enough evidence to really, you know,
they talked it over for a while.
They did talk it over. I just don't think there was clear enough evidence that it did enough damage to influence the end of the fight in terms of that. I just think Poteria just turned himself right into a guillotine, right? So, but your thoughts, did you kind of feel that way as well?
Yeah, I think that, especially because I don't feel like it was intentional, because he could have very easily aimed things to where he landed right on his head or in a more advantageous spot. I think kind of glancing where he did, probably was trying to swing his leg maybe to the side or past his head, and it just didn't work that way because it's hard to control a impromptu backflip. But there is, you know, I agree. I think he definitely has to find ways to kind of control the chaos a little bit more, because, I mean, if that doesn't land anywhere close to the head, it looks like a genius move. But the fact that, you know, and he didn't even realize that it was happening as far as them talking about if that was illegal or not. So he was kind of oblivious to it. So I think that, you know, going back maybe, because you want to say, you know, you can't do that, but that's why, I mean, this dude's super successful with it, you know, despite it looking crazy, some of the stuff he does. I mean, the guy just kind of finds a way to win and entertain people in the same spot. So I do agree with, you know, I don't think it was malicious. I don't think it was intentional. So going with what the referee called, you just kind of move forward with it. And then he kind of gets to, I mean, he kind of has to learn a lesson there too, though, of like, next time they might not be so gracious.
Yeah, he's been super successful to the tune of 8 straight wins, 3 in a row since moving up to the middleweight division. So, yeah, the question, what the heck do you do with a guy like Michel Pineda now? I mean, he's rolling. He's actually on a roll.
And he was ranked previously at welterweight, was obviously trying to fight Wonderboy, and that didn't go through. So there's some guys. Roman Dolidze needs a partner. Jack Hermanson isn't booked.
Yeah, you said the Roman Dolidze. That would be – it'd be a bump up for sure, but he's been around for so long. I think you could – justify giving
If you were going to give him Wonderboy at welterweight, Roman Dolidze at middleweight makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sitting here kind of looking.
I mean, you could give him Chris Curtis if you want to lower, like, go slower into the rankings, but I think you know, push him. I mean, the guy's, you know, super entertaining, and he's, you know, a star.
could maybe give him this guy, because our next winner, also in the middleweight division, Caio Borralho, defeats Paul Craig via second round knockout. And they won't all be this easy for Caio, but what a performance either way. You know, Craig, again, kind of just, like I said, for Martinez, just really didn't offer much in terms of anything on the feet, and especially in terms of the striking defense. And Borralho was just kind of able to pick his shots, landing at will. And he is now 6-0, John, in the UFC and climbing those middleweight rankings.
Dude, everybody he's beat for the most part is like really tough guys or even like good strikers where, you know, obviously he has probably more of a grappling background, but he's just found this lengthy striking that works really
fighting
well.
Fighting nerds.
Right, the fight, assembling the fighting nerds. Yeah. But I do think that what he called for as far as wanting, you know, a top 10 type of guy, I think he does deserve that. And once again, it's another just kind of budding star for Brazil that has a chance to, you know, make some moves. And I think that, you know, he's doing everything the right way. He looks better every fight. Obviously, it's not hard to look good at your striking against Paul Craig, who has, you know, very little striking defense and doesn't offer much in the form of wrestling. But he's fought other really good strikers and guys with good grappling. So I just think that it's time to see him, you know, take that next step up.
Absolutely. I would love, like, the one fight, and you know, I know we're not going to see this, but I want to see Caio Borralho versus Bo Nickel. That's one I've been wanting to see for a while. I'm going to venture to say the UFC has no appetite to see that for Bo. That would be a super tough fight for Bo and a dangerous fight for Bo Nickel.
But man, but you want to make people eat their words? That's the people you call out. Man.
Absolutely. A couple other notable wins on this card. As John mentioned, big night for some young talent, especially some young Brazilian talent. Joe Anderson Brito literally kicks a hole in the shin of Jack Shore. I've just never seen anything like that. And then the doctor just putting his finger
Didn't even have a break. It just ended up being a cut. That's what Shore's team said. It was just stitches. That's it.
That sucks for him.
The blood just made it look worse.
Oh, it looked bad.
It looked like he got shot, like you said.
Yeah, it looked like when, in a move. But, like, you literally can't just keep fighting with a hole. I mean, the doctor literally put his whole finger in it. Yasmin Lucindo defeats Karolina Kalbakevich. Man, just a solid performance here from Yasmin. I mean, you know, she was one in our Topps rookie. We said if she beats Karolina, possibly move her on up. Yeah, and this was a big, this wasn't even just a big win. This was a dominant win. That big, I think it was a left hand that she landed, and instantly Karolina was like not liking that.
Well, her eye
much.
Just kind of closed up a little bit.
Mick the Beck Ottobai defeats Elvis Brenner by unanimous decision. This was a fun fight. Elvis Brenner losing here, but man, given a good showing of himself.
Like he does every time, man.
I still think the ceiling's high for Elvis Brenner, but man, how about Mick the Beck Ottobai, you know, getting a line, you were kind of talking about it, gets a line with Alpha Male, finally has a team, is able to drop down to lightweight, and whew.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck.
If you're Brenner, you're probably getting your best shot at somebody like him, because I think once he gets down 55 and gets more within with this camp, like this dude is...
Jakar Close defeats Joaquim Silva by unanimous decision. That was just a wild, like Jakar Close forgetting he's not in the WWE. This is the merger. Literally like face plants himself into, or well, throws himself on his back in a
guillotine.
That was an interesting move.
It's like spiked almost.
Yes. And then the last one we have to talk about, Mauricio Rufi defeats Jamie Malarkey by first round knockout. We got to talk about this debut for Mauricio Rufi, because this seems like one of those debuts that we are going to remember for a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, he seems like he's going to be one of those ones, right?
Yeah.
One of those guys. Came in with a ton of hype off of the Contender Series, faced a really tough guy here in Jamie Malarkey, and what a debut. I mean, the flying scissor takedown, like, come on, man. Like, who just did it, you know? I mean,
As an Anderson fan, it's tough to see somebody do those
takedowns. That could have ruined Anderson's career. But then just to even see, like, to do that in your debut, the confidence
the cojones there.
Yeah, the speed, the power. Dean Thomas saying on broadcast, you know, it reminded him of a debuting young Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to argue
a lot of
that,
shades.
Man. Just a lot, like you said, ton of shades of it. That was fun. That was a fun fight to watch. So, we'd love to get to a couple other ones. We got to move, though, into our picks, John, for this Saturday night. May 11th, live from the Enterprise Center in St. Louis, Missouri. What a main card we have here. 7 p.m. start time, Eastern Standard, in our main, in our main event and in the heavyweight division, number 12, Derek Lewis takes on number 15, Rogério Nascimento. And John, Derek Lewis coming in off his loss to Gelatin Almeida back in November, and he has won just one fight in his last five. Nascimento comes in on a better run of form, having won his last three straight. But make no mistake, the Black Beast, definitely his biggest toughest test to date. So let's get to our picks. Who are you taking?
Well, this might be my last chance to pull the Derek Lewis card, so definitely going to do that. But because of, I think, Nascimento, one of the things, when you watch this, I'm glad you had it.
I had it already.
I didn't get it for Aldo, so I get it for But like I said, this might be my last chance to do it for Lewis, depending on what happens.
It's true.
But for Nascimento, though, when you go back and watch some of his fights, he does have a tendency to keep his hands low. Yeah. He will go forward. And we have seen him knocked out by my second favorite heavyweight, Chris Daukaus. But because of that, like, when you see those openings, when Derek Lewis gets those, I mean, now I will say this, Nascimento does have good ground game.
Sure.
He can get to his submissions, but he's willing to risk the striking to get to that.
Yeah.
And Derek Lewis is just, Derek Lewis can be 100 years old and you don't want to risk that.
Yeah.
He's going to carry that power no matter what. So I am going to go Derek Lewis here. I think that, I just don't know that Nascimento has the discipline to get to the grappling against somebody like Derek Lewis, who will wait for the right hand.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Derek Lewis, and I'm going to say first round knockout, dude. Let's get back on this train.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think it's super easy to look at a guy like Derek Lewis right now and where he is in his career and just be kind of quick to write him off in a fight like this. But I think if there's one thing, especially we learned in that De Lima fight, is Lewis is still capable of pulling off some magic against a certain level of opposition, right? And I think Nascimento is kind of at that level, unfortunately, right now.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, I know Nascimento, good grappling guy, jiu-jitsu is pretty good. And if he gets Lewis down, maybe it is over, especially based off that Almeida fight for Lewis. But as you mentioned, Nascimento isn't a profound wrestler, and his ability to get the fight to the ground isn't as polished, definitely not as a guy like on the level of an Almeida, right? Plus, we know Lewis is just the anti-jiu-jitsu, so, you know, good luck there. In the striking of Nascimento, it has improved a little bit in his time during the UFC, but I think he's going to have some problems here against Lewis, especially on the feet. I know we've seen Lewis take some pretty hard KOs lately, but I question the power here for Nascimento. I certainly don't think it's on the level of a Pavlovich or Tuivasa either. So I'm not as concerned of the chin here for Lewis as like maybe I would be if it was a higher opposition or, you know, kind of that next level tier. So I'm going to go with Derek Lewis too. And I will say, I'll say he gets it done early, but I'll say second round KO, TKO.
Yeah. And I think for Nascimento too, I think that, you just kind of see him getting excited and running at people. And he's been gone like, I think four fights, on his three fights, they're all decisions.
Yeah.
And Derek Lewis, you can decision him, but if you leave him around, he can still knock you out last second of the last round. So I just think that and I think a lot of people are probably kind of how we are, where it's like, oh man, Derek Lewis, another main event.
Yeah.
I think this is the time where he turns up and kind of reminds people.
It's what he did against De Lima. It has just those same feelings of like everybody's ready to write him off and he's going to pull something out. In our co-main event, John, and I'm, like I said, I'm probably most pumped for this fight. Number 11, Joaquin Buckley versus Nurzultan Ruziboyev. And John, Buckley has been on an absolute tear since dropping down to 170 pounds, with three straight wins for him, and his last performance was a second round TKO finish over Vicente Luque. Pretty much dominated that fight. But he is taking on a guy who I think may become one of the newest boogeymen in this welterweight division, as Ruziboyev has made big waves through his first two UFC outings. Both fights were at middleweight, so he is dropping down here. But he is unbeaten so far in the promotion, with back-to-back wins over Bruno Fajeda and most recently a first-round stoppage over Cedric Dumas just about 4 weeks ago. So quick turnaround here for Ruziboyev, and a big step up in competition as well, but a guy with a ton of experience as well. I mean, he's had close to like 45, 50 fights, something crazy. Yeah,
34, 8, and 2.
Yeah, so I'm pumped for this one. Who you taking?
Man, I'm interested to see. I didn't even think about necessarily even the weight change, because obviously Buckley has fought up before, and but for Ruzi Boyev, this is going to be. It'll be interesting to see if Buckley can stop that forward momentum, that aggressiveness. Yeah. I think that's something that the guys at 85 just couldn't do.
Yeah.
He would come forward and hit him and hurt him. But for Buckley too, he's been in there with a lot of dangerous guys before, and he's just added these things that he's added so much to his game. I seen that he's still going to B team, you know, to do some more work with his jiu-jitsu. His striking has always been pretty exciting, and I just think that when you get that win over somebody like Luque, the rub you get off of just getting a big win like that, the confidence that's there, I think it's, and being in St. Louis, getting the co-main event, he was obviously trying to get the main event, but I believe in momentum a lot, and especially for Buckley, who's found a home at 170, whereas Ruzi Boyev is trying to find maybe a new home there. I'd like to go with the momentum here, so I'm going to go with Buckley, and I'm going to say maybe by decision, because Ruzi Boyev is going to be tough to put away, because he's going to have to weather a little bit of a storm, but I'm going to take Buckley by decision.
Yeah, I feel like you might have like Bluetooth airdropped my notes, because that's literally almost everything I have to say about this fight. I have no clue how Ruzi Boyev will make 170 pounds. Yeah. He is massive. Dude's legit 6'5".
I take his teeth out.
Yeah. And I did look, for what it's worth, I can't add. He has made the weight a couple times in his career, but he does have a losing record as a welterweight, even outside the UFC. He hasn't fought at 170 since 2021, and both of his UFC fights, as mentioned, at middleweight. So it does remain to be seen how he's going to look here in the UFC at this weight, and against much tougher opposition. But one thing that I do know, just kind of, again, everything you said, Buckley has just looked sensational since dropping down. We know the speed, the power, the strength have all followed Joaquin Buckley down to welterweight. And I think that's one of the questions, that a lot of the questions, that I'm going to have here for Ruzi Boyev in this fight, because we just don't know.
Right.
And Buckley is just so dynamic and explosive, especially on the feet. It's going to be interesting to see how Ruzi Boyev can kind of handle that. So I did not think we would be aligned on this. I thought this was going to be the one I was going to kind of sneak one in on you. I'm going to take Buckley here as well. And maybe making a huge mistake with this pick, because everything that we've seen from Ruzi Boyev shows he's a monster. And if this fight's at 85, there's no way I'm not taking Ruzi Boyev. And so if this weight cut does go well for him and he can handle the weight and adapt to it, he is a big, big problem at welterweight. But again, just too many questions here for me, dropping down 15 pounds.
That's what I'm questioning the most, though. You've literally ran through both of the guys you fought at 85.
Yeah.
Maybe. And 85 has some polarity up toward the top. Whereas, you know, Leon Bilal, like those guys at the top at 170 kind of are holding things up. And there's a little bit more room, I feel like, to get big fights at 185 with the resurgence of talent they've got. So I kind of even questioned the decision to do this. Obviously, you know, obviously with Ruzi Boyev, I didn't even think about like the height difference too. He's huge, man.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like I just don't know what that's going to look like. And Buckley's just been in there, you know, but Buckley's also been knocked out. So
Buckley has the same reach though.
Yeah.
For being 6'5 to 5'10, they both have the same reach.
But then even as you said, you know, he's just coming in with a ton of confidence, ton of momentum, obviously fighting in front of his home. I think he's going to elevate that. He's betting on, you know, he's been calling for, he wanted on this card, so he's going to be extremely motivated. It may be silly, again, but I do like Buckley for some reason in this fight. I actually, too, said by unanimous decision, I don't know that he's going to be able to finish Ruzi Boyev. So since you've taken decision, I will just say another second-round KO, TKO. That's probably how he does it if he does it. So
yeah, because if Ruzi Boyev doesn't cut well, he could get tired, especially because, I mean, I think he's averaging like 3 takedowns a fight. So if he can't get to that, which we've seen people struggle just with what Buckley can do as far as movement. And like I said, getting in with B team, I think he's going to have to start using, for this fight especially, a little bit more of that grappling. And I'll be interested to see what those chops look like now.
I love this fight card. I said it off the top. A couple other good fights on here. Alonzo Menafield taking on Carlos Olberg. I am a big Olberg guy. I'm taking him in this fight. I think the ceiling looks really high here for Olberg, and I'm excited to see him back in there again. This could be a big win for him. Diego Fajeda versus Mateusz Rebecki. Alex Casera is on this card taking on Sean Woodson. Waldo Cortez Acosta. This is probably the one. You know, you always got those sneaky ones on the undercard. Waldo Cortez Acosta taking on Robles De Spain. Yes, and he is the Cuban karate guy from the heavyweight
taekwondo black belt.
This fight is gonna be.
Yeah, if you remember his debut, it was like basically like a Francis Ngannou just backed up threw a punch to the side of the head, and you gotta
watch this fight.
Waldo Cortez throws heaters. Yeah. So
Cuba versus the Dominican Republic. You gotta watch this fight. Chase Hooper on this card. Terrence T-Rex McKinney's on this card. Tabitha Ricci,
Tisa Pennington.
Yeah, it's just littered. You know, Dan Hardy's wife, Veronica Hardy, taking on J.J. Aldrich, kicks the card off. Again, a fantastic fight night. Cannot wait to watch it.
Kevin trains at City Kickboxing. He's a welterweight. He's pretty good. Then Jake Hadley, he's on our card video as well.
Yeah, another guy. If he gets a win here, it'd be
White Kong. I don't remember which one it is.
Yeah, I can't remember either. John, let's get to the news.
Going on the news. If you don't like it, Brandon, I'll punch you and give you a bruise.
All right, and not a lot going on this week, but a couple notable things. Saturday night at UFC 301, they announced Mauricio Shogun, who will be joining the 2024 UFC Hall of Fame class. He was there in person. Couldn't get the smile off his face if you wanted to.
Yeah, that was cool.
Definitely looks healthy.
Yeah, he's definitely eating good in the neighborhood.
On X, Matt Brown announced that his retirement, saying, "Not doing it again. I'm out. That's the announcement. My life will be dedicated to serving others, growing others in martial arts, and building businesses that can help the community and the world. Thanks to Dana White and the UFC for giving me a platform to express myself and my brand, but it's time to move on to bigger, better things." Matt Brown retires having the second most knockouts in UFC history, only behind Derek Lewis.
Absolute legend from the Midwest. Gotta love the immortal Matt Brown, man. Yeah. Just always such a fun fighter. I mean, you knew what you were going to get from a Matt Brown fight, and it never disappointed.
Never. A couple fight announcements. Obviously, we mentioned earlier, Alex Perez will be facing Tagir Ulanbekov in June. But also, Arnold Allen is making his return against Gige Chikadze at UFC 304 in Manchester.
I saw that. Love that fight.
First banger added on. It's just going to get better from here.
I told you guys, this UFC Manchester, it's basically going to be like Europe's version of 300. It's going to be a big one.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to keep us away from that one. For sure.
Yeah. That's why you got to keep us in your feet.
Right. One thing that I just thought was interesting, I don't know if you've seen, Yuri Prohashko was asked about moving up to heavyweight in his future. His response was actually a little shocking, saying he actually sees himself trying his hand at middleweight, saying he doesn't really cut much at all and thinks if he just changed his diet, he could cut to 85 pretty easy.
Be a scary dude at 85.
And then Whitaker comes out and says, "I really like you, guy. I hope you don't come here because then I have to fight you." But him at 85 is super scary.
It is scary.
2020 Olympic gold medalist Gable Stevenson has been released from the WWE. Obviously, with the WWE and UFC being owned by the same company, I don't know if that opens that door or if you're just going to see him pursue something different. But
you know that scene in Lion King where Simba takes Pride Rock and Rafiki's like, "It is time."
Yeah.
That's how I feel about this for Gable. Yeah. It's time, brother. Let's go.
He's been working at the MMA side.
He's been working with Jason Jackson and stuff. And, dude, it should have always been MMA. I get what he was kind of trying to do. I think he was kind of trying to take the Brock Lesnar route, right? Get a lot of money, get your name, notoriety, all that stuff up. Then cross over and make everything even bigger. But, yeah, dude, come on. Yeah. It's time, brother.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of the heavyweight roster was just like,
here we go. It would be, if there was like ever a, like if you could ever do this experiment, which they would never do, but it would just be so interesting just like tomorrow to send him in there, like with whatever training he has. I'm sure he has a little bit, but I just think he's just such an athlete, such a freak.
I think he beats Nascimento.
That's what I'm saying. Like just send him in there against a UFC, like maybe a guy that's had at least three or four UFC, like kind of a guy that's been around, like not just a complete and total turd. And maybe, like I said, a guy that's had a couple wins. And just see, like, it would just be so interesting. Because I don't know. Maybe I'm naive, but I just feel like just off athleticism and just, I mean.
Well, you see it with Bo, man.
I was talking to a guy at work this week, and we were looking at the picture of Gable when he did the backflip after winning the Olympics. And it's like, that's a 260-pound man upside down, like 20 feet in the air, like 10 feet in the air, like. I mean, it's just, it's scary, dude.
Well, the other he's side scary. Of him, like, he's kind of what you see in, like, the NFL defensive ends, where it's like, if these dudes started decided to fight,
probably
it's done.
Yeah, he probably could have went and played in the
But now you're going to actually get the chance to see that. And the last thing I have is Ryan Garcia testing positive for a banned substance in two tests, his pre-fight and his post-fight for his win over Devin Haney. Since the news, Garcia has denied using and has filed to have his B samples tested as well, which usually when fighters pop, they kind of just take it, and they don't double down and saying, we'll test the other one. Obviously, Ryan Garcia has had some really questionable decisions in general. So horrible for boxing, who, I mean, that win was, that whole moment was something that probably felt like, okay, now we're back on it. We got some big opportunities here with Ryan Garcia, but kind of shooting himself in the foot here.
Another movie quote, Little Giants. Does anybody care? No. Is anybody surprised? No. Does anybody care? No. Yeah, of course he did. You know, I mean, I shouldn't go that far, but it's kind of like when John, like, given all the antics and stuff in the lead up for that fight, it's like when John Jones did the same thing and tested the B. It's like, is anybody surprised? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So,
but that's all we got for the news.
All righty, John. I think you actually have Song of the Week. What are you taking?
I'm going, you might not know this one, but I definitely implore you to listen to it because it's a smooth one.
Okay.
It's Tommy Richmond, Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, my sister just sent me that song.
Oh, really?
I don't know if I told her, it was like, it's different. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, I don't hate it.
Right.
It's just different, but she's like obsessed with it.
It kind of reminds me of like what somebody in like the 80s would have walked into a bowling alley like pointing at people. This has that kind of smooth, strutty feel, but I could see somebody like a Ty Tuivasa or somebody coming out to it.
That's what I told her. I was like, I like it. I'm just like, it's different. Like, I just got it. That's what I told her. I was like, I think if I listen to it a couple times, it'll like start to grow on me.
And I kind of like the little high pitch, more voice kind of with the bass line. Boom, boom. So.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what if he can keep recreating that style too. What is your one for the people?
My one for the people. Went and seen my nieces play softball on Thursday, and we've talked about how like youth sports has just kind of took a really bad spill, especially in our town. Especially like baseball, it used to be a real huge multiple parks. Now it's down to one. Mm-hmm. So the way that the girls softball worked, because my oldest niece, she's in the 10 and under, so there's 9 and 10 year olds, and they're still doing the fast pitch, style. Sure. So most of the games are just walks and people scoring. So they have a limit. You can only get 6 runs an inning because they're walking so much. So the other teams, they just couldn't get it over the plate. So
why don't they do like something where like, after like ball 3, you just hit off a tee.
Right. Or I don't know. Cause like for us,
or get like the pitching machine that'll just like thoom.
Right.
Like
for us, like loft 9, 10 years old, we had minor league.
Yeah. Cause that's not even fun.
But even like the motion, like I feel like you could just slow pitch just it instead.
Slow pitch it, yeah.
But their girl, the other team's girl, just couldn't get it over the plate. So 6 runs off the top, you get through the thing.
That's not even fun.
So then,
that's like horrible for
my niece's team gets on and she's winging them, striking girls out. Like she has it down. So there's this guy sitting behind us, and the girl, it was like 3-1. The girl had just like, he called a strike. I guess the girl had swung at 1, so it was supposed to be 3-2. We're up 6-0.
Yeah.
And, it's going slow. Dude behind us, hey, ump, that's 2 strikes. You know that, right? She swung at 1. And the umpire just kind of turns around. It's like, hey, we take volunteers if you want to come learn how to do this. And he keeps doing this, but she swung. You seen that? He's like, do you want to get kicked out? And you hear him kind of pause, and he just like calls him the F word. But the thing about it is you're up 6-0.
Yeah.
I think this guy just wanted to leave.
Probably.
I think he wanted to go do something else because
wanted a reason to get kicked out.
You know how like when you're in class and a kid, like, you can tell he wants to get out, so he's just like, well, if I cuss real quick, they'll probably send me out. So then the umpire turns around, get out of my park. And that dude tries to get like other people on his team before he walks out. But that's just like the nutshell of what like youth sports is now.
Yeah, it sucks. Parents ruin it a lot. I mean, especially in like baseball and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, the kids can't even have fun.
Now, the under 8, my youngest niece, that was fun because it was like T-ball. So,
I guess they get three pitches
and they hit it off a tee. They all get to score. You do it 3 times and it's over.
I mean, in one inning, getting up 6-0 and all 6 runs are earned from walks, like, that's not even fun. That's horrible development for both teams, the hitters, because they're not getting reps. The girl's hitting. The girl's in the field. It's diminishing and killing the confidence.
They don't
of the
go
girl
to the
pitching.
Outfield. Like I will say this: since my niece's team could actually pitch, there were hittable balls. Mm-hmm. So all the girls line up around the outs, like the inside of the outfield, basically. None of them are back. So if one gets through, it's like an inside the park home run because there's nobody out there.
Yeah, I think it should be like ball 3, and then if you get ball 3, the next one has to just be a soft pitch.
Right.
Like, just float it up. If it's a ball, you walk them. But well, at least it gives a chance for something.
And it's not only just walks. Because they're such wild pitches, a lot of them, they're stealing bases.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Bro, let me take that back. Amongst the six, three of those were stealing home because of bad pitches.
Yeah, I blame the league for that.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of development. My brother said they don't really do much in practice, especially fundamentals. So
yeah, interesting. My one for the people, just, you know, again, not to get back on everything at the beginning, but just thanking everybody again that has continued and will continue to support the podcast. Like I said, the plan is to definitely be back. You know, we just said, like, the Manchester, Connor, like, don't be surprised if you don't hear from us. Like, not saying this is like, well, see y'all in 2025.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just needs some time to process and think about some things and what our next steps are kind of going to look like, mm-hmm. and how we can make this a little bit more conducive to our lifestyles, our schedules, the things that we want to do outside of just this, right? Especially on Sundays where, you know, that's typically like your day to chill and be with family and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So hang in there and you will be hearing from us very soon. And as long as you're following us on the socials, it'll be even sooner. So that is it. And I thought this is how we're going to go out. So I thought there was only one way we go out here. And I think you'll like this, John.
So long, farewell to you, my friends. Goodbye for now, until we meet again. I say so, so long, farewell to you, my friends. Goodbye for now, until we meet again. It's been great to play and sing together
in the box.
And now it's time to say goodbye. So long, farewell to you, my friends. Goodbye for now, until we meet again. Goodbye for now, until we meet again.
Peace out, everybody. Peace.